الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. This one is slightly lower because it cramps my style, the little that I have. The land of Iraq is a land which is in the headlines on a daily basis, because it is a land where Muslim blood flows like the Tigris and the Euphrates River. It is a land where blood is cheaper than oil, and the reality is that oil can be substituted for blood. But this is not the first time that Iraq has seen a massacre, for Iraq has a history of massacres. In 1258, when the Mongols took over Iraq under Hilubu, who was the grandson of Genghis Khan, the entire population of Baghdad at that time was 1.6 million. 1.6 million. And later historians write that half of the population of Baghdad was massacred. Can you imagine a group of people coming into Birmingham and killing half of the population? The massacres went on for such a long period that the rivers around Baghdad turned red with the blood of the Muslims. And then they ransacked the libraries, and Baghdad was one of the learning centers of the world. And then the same rivers which had turned red with the blood of the Muslims now turned black with the ink from the books. 1.6 million was the total in the population of Baghdad, and half of it was killed. And the narrations mention that they began to make pyramids with the skulls of the Muslims. And Ibn Athir, rahmatullah alayhi, the famous historian, mentions that for months I have been wanting to write about the atrocities which took place in Baghdad, but when I recall these atrocities, I cannot bring pen to paper. I cannot bring pen to paper. A muarrikh, a muhaddith like Ibn Athir rahmatullah alayh, was traumatized by what he had seen in Baghdad. But this wasn't the first time that Iraq had seen a massacre. For centuries before this, Iraq saw another massacre. And in this massacre, the rivers didn't turn red with the believers' blood, but the blood which ran through their veins was the holiest of blood. For it was the same blood which flowed through the veins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the massacre of the blessed family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the murder of that person who was the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walking on the face of this earth. It was his grandson Hussein radiallahu anhu. For who other than Hussein had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam putting him upon his shoulders? Upon occasion, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu saw Hassan and Hussein upon the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Oh, what a beautiful ride you have." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, Umar, what beautiful riders I have upon my shoulders." Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving the Jummah khutbah, and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum entered the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam descended from the pulpit. He picked Hassan and Hussein up, and then he ascended the pulpit again, and he said, "Indeed Allah speaks the truth when he says, 'Inna ma'amwalakum wa awladakum fitna,' that your wealth and your progenies are a fitna for you." Who else other than Hussein has the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chasing in the streets of Medina? Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking through the streets of Medina, and he saw Hussein radiallahu anhu playing with a group of children, and he began to run after him. And Hussein would run this way, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would run after him. Hussein would run out that way, and rahmatul alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam would run after him, until finally he caught him, he embraced him, and he kissed him. Who else other than Hussein had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifting his garment and kissing him upon his navel? Who else other than Hussein radiallahu anhu had the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein"? Who else other than Hassan and Hussein has the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that your house will be opposite my house in Jannah? Who else other than Hassan and Hussein has the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that on the day of judgment, in the hereafter, Sayyid al-Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, that you will be the leaders of all the youth in Jannah? All the youth in Jannah. And the amazing thing is that a group of people who regarded themselves as Muslims, after seeing how much love the Prophet ﷺ had for Hassan and Hussein, killed Hassan and Hussein. These people will come on the Day of Judgment and they will want the Prophet ﷺ to give them water on the well of Kawthar, but they deprived the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ for water for 3 days. They will come and they will want the Prophet ﷺ to intercede on their behalf, but they mercilessly killed that person who was the most beloved person walking on the face of this earth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people will come on the Day of Judgment and they will want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede upon their behalf. Moving on to the death of Hussein radiallahu anhu, the reality is we use the word death, but these people don't die. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not think of those who have died fighting in the path of the Lord that they are dead. They are alive by Allah. They are alive by Allah. They are alive in our hearts. They are alive and kicking in the books of history. And the reality is that when these people die, they bring the ummah to life. When you recall their sacrifices for their deed, it brings our hearts alive. And therefore, we feel sorry for them. But Allah says, do not regard them as dead. They are alive in the Rabbihim yurzaqoon. And Allah sustains them. Allah sustains them. The background to the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu was that when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu passed away, he made his son Yazid the Khalif. Many of the people of Iraq felt that Hussein should have been the next Khalifa, and they began to write letters. The narrations mentioned that they sent 12,000 letters to Hussein radiallahu anhu, that Hussein, come to us and we will give bayah to you, we will regard you as the Khalifa. What Hussein radiallahu anhu did is that he sent his cousin Muslim ibn Afqir to see what was happening in Kufa. When Muslim ibn Afqir left, he left with 2 guys. On the way, the first one passed away, and then the second one passed away, and Muslim ibn Afqir got a very bad feeling about his journey, and he wrote a letter to Hussein saying, Hussein, I got a very bad feeling about the journey. But Hussein radiallahu anhu told him to carry on. When he reached Kufa, within a number of days, 32,000 people gave bayah on the hands of Muslim ibn Afqir for Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he wrote a letter to Hussein radiallahu anhu, who was in Makkah. He said, Hussein, come to Kufa, for the people's hearts are with you. At that time, the governor of Kufa was a man called Numan ibn Bashir, who was a very pious person. And the people said, oh Numan, what are you doing? Why don't you sort Muslim out? And Numan ibn Bashir didn't want to be tested through the family of the Prophet sallallahu. And he said, I'd rather be weak for the truth than be strong for falsehood. And Yazid, when he saw that Numan ibn Bashir had turned a blind eye, then he replaced him with a tyrant called Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. What Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad did, he entered Kufa with his face covered. And the people of Kufa were already waiting for Hussein radiallahu anhu. And they thought that this is Hussein radiallahu anhu, because he had a small entourage with him. And they began to say, Assalamu alaikum, O grandson of the Prophet. Assalamu alaikum, grandson of the Prophet. And then Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad understood the seriousness of the situation, and he went straight to the governor's palace, and then the people understood that this is not Hussein, this is somebody else. And the first thing he did, he sent scouts out to look for the gatherings of Hussein radiallahu anhu, Muslim ibn Afqir. And one of the slaves they found his gathering, what he would do, he would sit there and he would see who would come and go, who would come and go. And then he would report back to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And one of the near people who would come to this gathering was the person of Hani. He was the leader of his people. And Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad summoned him, and he asked him, Hani, tell me where Muslim is. And Hani said, I don't know where Muslim is. I don't even know who Muslim is. And then he called the slave out. And then Hani understood, game over. And then he said, I swear by Allah, if Muslim ibn Aqil was under my foot, I will not reveal him to you. If he was under my foot, I will not reveal him to you. When Muslim ibn Aqil found out that Hani had been arrested, he marched on the governor's palace with 4,000 people. 4,000 men. And what Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad had done, he had gathered all the leaders of the tribe, and he told him, if you peel off your men, then I will remunerate you. You will be my sidekicks. You will be my cronies. So they went out and they began to peel off their men. The narrations mentioned that in the morning, Uslim ibn Aqil had 4,000 men. In the afternoon, he had 400 men. Come Maghrib, he had 30 men. And after Maghrib, he was all by himself. All by himself. And he's walking and hiding in the streets of Kufa. And the Baytullah ibn Ziyad men are looking for him. Until finally he came to a house and he knocked on the door and the old lady opened the door. And he said, "Oh lady, do you have any water for a traveler?" And she said, "Indeed." She gave him some water and Muslim ibn Aqil drank the water and he sat there. And the lady said, "Why are you sitting here? What's wrong?" And then he told her, "I am Muslim ibn Aqil." And she said, "Family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" She said, "Yes." She was honored. She took him in. And then later on her son came and she told him, "We are honored. We have the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our house." But he had another agenda. He wanted a dollar and a dime. He was a sellout. Come morning, without washing his face, without brushing his teeth, he went straight to the governor's palace and he said, "If you give me some money, I will tell you where Muslim ibn Aqil is." They gave him some money. He told them where he was. They besieged the house. They arrested Muslim ibn Aqil. When he came to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's palace, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad said, "Take him to the roof and take Hani to the roof and behead them and throw their head over the palace wall." So people know that whoever rebels against the Khalif, whoever rebels against Yazid, this will be the outcome. This happened on the day of Arafah. Hussein radiallahu anhu left Makkah one or two days before this. And when the eminent Sahaba radiallahu anhu found out that Hussein was going, they tried to convince him not to go. So they lied to Abdullah ibn Zubair. When Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu found out, he said, "Hussein, where are you going?" He said, "Hussein, don't you know what these people did to your father? Don't you know what the people of Iraq did to your brother? So where are you going?" And Hussein radiallahu anhu insisted that he wanted to go. And then Abdullah ibn Abbas said, "I swear by Allah, Hussein, if I had the power, I would tie a rope upon your neck and I would keep you in Makkah." When Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu found out, he traveled for 3 days to catch up with Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he said, "Hussein, where are you going?" And he said, "Look at the letters that they sent me. They want to give bayah to me." And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was one of the leading scholars and he had a deep insight in the Quran and the Hadith. And he said, "Hussein, this can never happen, because the Prophet ﷺ said that he is from you and you are from him." And the Prophet ﷺ was given the option of the dunya and the akhirah, and he chose the akhirah. So you can never attain the dunya. And Hussein radiallahu anhu insisted upon going. And then Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, "Hussein, show me that place where the Prophet ﷺ used to kiss you." And Hussein radiallahu anhu, he lifted his garment and Abdullah ibn Umar kissed him on that very spot where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to kiss him. And then Hussein radiallahu anhu advanced and he met a man called Farazdaq, who was a very famous poet, and he asked him, "What is the situation in Kufa?" And he said, "The situation in Kufa is that the half of the people are with you, but their souls are with Bani Umayyah." And then Hussein radiallahu anhu went further on and he began to say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And they said, "Hussein, what's wrong?" He said, "I have seen an angel in the form of a rider, and he has told me that the army is coming and death awaits you." And they said, "Hussein, what do you say? What do you see?" Upon a second time, he said, "I have seen the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And when he went further on, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad had sent an army under Hur ibn Yazid of 1,000 men. And when Hur ibn Yazid confronted Hussein radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Hussein, don't make Allah test me through the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And Hussein radiallahu anhu carried on with his caravan, and Hur ibn Yazid began to follow him with his army. He began to follow him with his army. And then when he began to follow him, Hussein radiallahu anhu said, "Hur, may your mother lose you. Get lost. May your mother lose you." And Hur ibn Yazid said, "Hussein, I swear by Allah, if anybody other than you had said this to me, I would have taken revenge from him and his mother. But what can I say? Your mother is the leader of all the women of this dunya and all the women of the akhirah. What can I say to you?"
And then Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad sent reinforcements. He sent another 4,000 men under Umar ibn Sa'd, and another 4,000 men under Shimr, another 1,000 men under Husayn ibn Numayr, and another 1,000 men under Muhammad ibn Ash'ar. And when Husayn radiallahu anhu saw the seriousness of the situation, 11,000 men, and Husayn radiallahu anhu only had 72 people with him. That's all he had. And then he turned to Umar ibn Sa'd and he said, "Oh Umar, give me one of three options. Either allow me to go and fight the rest of my life in the path of Allah, go to the frontiers and spend my life fighting in jihad, or allow me to speak to Yazid, or thirdly allow me to go to Makkah." And Umar ibn Sa'd wrote a letter to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad agreed. But Shimr, who was sitting there, he said, "No, you cannot agree, for if you agree upon his condition, then he wins. Tell him he must surrender without any conditions, and his fate will lie in our hands." And then they sent a letter to Umar ibn Sa'd that he must give up, he must surrender without any conditions. And when Umar ibn Sa'd read this letter to Husayn radiallahu anhu, Husayn radiallahu anhu said, he said, "Oh Umar, I swear by Allah, if a kafir had asked me for any one of these three conditions, I would have accepted them. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I am the son of Ali? Don't you know I am the son of Fatima? Don't you know I am the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Husayn is from me, and I am from Husayn. Whoever hurts Husayn has hurt me. What will you do on the day of judgment when you will come to my grandfather and you will want him to intercede on your behalf, and you have done this to me?" And Hur ibn Yazid was listening to this, and he walks up to Husayn radiallahu anhu and he said, "Husayn, from now I am with you." And he turned to the people of Kufa and he said, "What kind of people are you? You write him letter upon letter, and when he comes you deceive him. You deceive him and you deprive him of water because they stopped him giving him any water. And although nearby is a river from which the dogs and the pigs drink from which the Jews and the Christians drink from, and you stop water from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what kind of people are you?" And then came the Thursday. And upon Thursday, Husayn radiallahu anhu, he came out of his tent and he drew his sword and he sat down and he fell asleep. And he saw a dream. And the only thing which woke him up was that his sister Zainab radiallahu anha, she came out running and screaming because the enemies were advancing. And Husayn radiallahu anhu told his brother that, "Tell them to give us one more day. That's all we want, to think over things." And Abbas radiallahu anhu, he spoke to them and they gave him one more day. And upon that night, Husayn radiallahu anhu, he gathered all his men and he said, "Oh, people know that the only man they want is me, so why don't you all go back? Why don't you all go back and leave me?" And they said, "Husayn, la baka lana ba'dak." They said, "Husayn, there is no life for us after you." And then he turned to the family of Muslim ibn Aqil and he said, "Oh Muslim, your family has given the sacrifice because Muslim has been martyred. Why don't you go back?" And they said, "Oh Husayn, what will the people say? That you left your master, that you left your sheikh, that you left your cousin because you wanted to live in this dunya?" They said, "We swear by Allah, this can never happen. For we will die with you. We will give our life, we will give our families, and we will give our wealth. And if it means dying with you, we will die with you." And then Husayn radiallahu anhu said, he said, "The reason I took one more night wasn't the fact that I was going to join with falsehoods, that I was going to join with batil. No, but when I went to sleep outside the tent, I saw my grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'Ya Husayn, get ready to come to me.' And the reason I took one night is that I wanted to stand in my front of my Lord, and I wanted to cry in front of my Lord. I wanted to repent to my Lord. This is the only reason I took one more night. Otherwise, if it was that we were going to join with falsehood, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can never join with falsehood." And then Husayn radiallahu anhu, he spent the entire night crying in front of his Lord, and he was reciting poetry. He was reciting, "Uffin laka ya dakhru min khalili, kam laka bil ishraqi wal asili, min sahibin طالب الخطيب والزهر لا يقرب البديل انما الامر الى الجليل وكل حي يسلك سبيلي." He said, "Oh time, what an awful friend you are. For all those who have pursued you, all those who have wanted you, you have killed them by day and night. And you have always attained your target. وَإِنَّمَا الْأَمْرُ إِلَى الْجَلِيلِ.
But all matters will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَكُلُّ حَيٍّ يَسْلُكُ سَبِيلِ.
And every person, every individual who is living will walk my path.
Meaning every man will die.
And his sister Zainab radiallahu anha, she was listening to this and she began to weep.
And he said, "Oh Zainab, don't let Shaitan get the better of you.
For I swear by Allah that my mother was better than me and she died.
My brother was better than me and he died.
My father was better than me and he died.
And my grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was better than me and they all died.
And time will come that me and you will leave this dunya.
So don't allow Shaitan to get the better of you."
And then the next day, Friday, Hussain radiallahu anhu, he came out with his men.
And conventional warfare in those days was that you would have duels,
1-to-1.
And Hussain radiallahu anhu's men came out,
and the Kufans came forward,
and Hussain radiallahu anhu's men began to slaughter them one by one.
And they said, "If things carry on this way, we won't have anybody left."
And then 3,000 of the Kufans attacked the men of Hussain radiallahu anhu.
And the first man to fall was Muslim ibn Awsij.
And Hussain radiallahu anhu moved up to him. And he said, "O Muslim, glad tidings unto you.
For you are the first man to fall for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam."
And then Habib ibn Mutahhir moved forward.
And in some narration, Habib ibn Mutahhir,
he moved forward. And he said, "Glad tidings unto you, Muslim.
And glad tidings unto you, Muslim.
For you are guaranteed Jannah for falling for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam."
And a Muslim turned to Habib and he said, "Oh Habib, don't die after Hussein, die before Hussein, die protecting Hussein."
And then one by one, all those around Hussein radiallahu anhu, they fell.
Hur ibn Yazid, Habib ibn Mutahhir, Habib ibn Abdullah, each one of them.
Habib ibn Abdullah said to Hussein, he said, "Hussein, I swear by Allah, if I had 1,000 lives, I would give each one for you. But the thing is that I only have one life."
And all of them fell one by one
until only the family of Hussein radiallahu anhu was left.
And the first person to come out of the family of Hussein radiallahu anhu was Ali al-Akbar.
He was the oldest son of Hussein radiallahu anhu.
He was 19 years old at that time.
And he came out and he fought like a lion.
But he was who?
He was the grandson of Ali radiallahu anhu.
And he was the family of Hamza radiallahu anhu.
And he fought like a lion until they cut off his hand and they struck him.
And when he was breathing his last, Hussein radiallahu anhu took him in his arms and he said, "Oh my son, on the day of judgment, your grandfather the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will bear witness to your shahada."
And then the cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved forward.
And these were ordinary people. These were sahabi.
These were men who fought side by side with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And four of them came until they were martyred.
And then Qasim, the son of Hassan radiallahu anhu, came forward.
And he was a very beautiful young man.
And he fought until they struck him over the head.
And when they struck him over the head, he said, "Ya Amma."
He said, "Oh my uncle."
And Hussein radiallahu anhu Muke ran forward and he took him in his arms and he said, "Oh my son, today your uncle is so incapacitated that he cannot reply to your call because his enemies are many and his friends are few.
But I swear by Allah that after this day you will not need to call upon anybody."
And then one by one, the family of Hussein radiallahu anhu were martyred until there were only two people left, Abbas radiallahu anhu and Hussein radiallahu anhu.
And then they martyred Abbas, and then Hussein radiallahu anhu fought.
He fought bravely, but for 3 days, he hadn't tasted a sip of water.
And he fought as brave as he could,
but for 3 days he had chased a sip of water until finally he retreated and he went into his camp and he had a young child,
a young son called Abdullah,
and he knew his time was up
and he took his son in his arms and he began to kiss him and he began to embrace him,
and one of the Kufans, they shot an arrow and the arrow hit Abdullah in the neck.
And Hussein radiallahu anhu, he put Abdullah to the floor and he lifted his hand to the sky and he said, "Allahumma sabbirna ala al-qadha, Allahumma sabbirna ala al-qadha, Allahumma sabbirna ala al-qadha."
So Allah, give us sabr upon your decree.
Oh Allah, give us sabr upon your decree.
A man who's in this state, but he's still turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And one of the Kufans mentioned, "And I swear by Allah, I have never seen a man as brave as Hussein. for bodies are lying all around him. But he's sitting there as content as any man could be. Why? Because he knew he was destined for Jannah. He knew that Jannah was minutes away. And Abdullah ibn Jabir radiallahu anhu, upon occasion, he was sitting with his students, and Hussein radiallahu anhu walked past, and he said, if you want to see a man who's abode in Jannah, then look at this man. Because I swear by Allah, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Hussein's abode is Jannah. And it's often said that never in my life have I seen a man who was brave as this man is, because he knew his abode was Jannah. And then Hussein radiallahu anhu, he stood up, and there was a river close by, because he knew his time was up. And he walked toward the river to drink some water, and one of the Kufans, they shot an arrow, and it hit Hussein radiallahu anhu, and he fell to the floor. And when he fell to the floor, the Kufans surrounded him, and Hussein radiallahu anhu is saying, Sharibatul Ma, the Sharibatul Ma, he said, give me some water, for what will you do on the day of judgment? And when you will come to my grandfather, and you will ask him for water on the Hawd al-Kawthar, what will you do on the day of judgment? And the narration mentioned that the scene was so touching that many of the Kufan, they took a step back, until Shimr said, what you waiting for? Finish him off. And can you imagine the scene? The family, the women folk of Hussein radiallahu anhu, his wife, his daughter, his sister are all watching this, and they stepped upon him like vultures, and they struck him 60 times. But it didn't finish there. Why? Because the Prophet said that Allah has a certain station for people, and often they cannot attain this station through their own deed. So Allah puts them through trials and tribulations. And then one of the Kufans, they grabbed his head, and the other one removed his head from his body. What head was this? What head was this? This was the head what the Prophet ﷺ would kiss. This was the head which would lie on the chest of the Prophet ﷺ. This was the head which would lie on the lap of the Prophet ﷺ. This was the most beloved head to the Prophet ﷺ on the face of the earth at that time. And then they took the women folk of the family of Zainab radiallahu anha as captives. And when Zainab radiallahu anha, the sister of Hussein radiallahu anha, she walked past the bodies, and they beheaded every single one. And uncontrollably, she started to be saying, Ya Muhammada, salla alayka malaikatu sama, haza Hussein bil ara, muzammil bil dama, muqatta al aza, ya Muhammada, inna banataka sabaya, wa zuriyataka muqatta. She said, oh my grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh my grandfather, may the angels of the sky sell salutations upon you. This is Hussein lying in the battlefield, and lying in the battlefield, muzammilu bid-dima, today his shroud and his clothes are blood. And his limbs have been cut. What they did is, after they killed Hussein radiallahu anhu, they made horses trample his body. Inna banataka sabaya. She said, oh my grandfather, today your daughters have become captive. Wa zuriyataka muqattala. And your progeny has been killed. And the group would mention that even many of the soldiers, when they heard her say this, they lost control and they began to cry. And Allah didn't even give these people the tawfiq to bury Hussein radiallahu anhu until the Bani Asad came and they buried the bodies of Hussein radiallahu anhu. And when the Kufans found out, they set water over the body, over the place where the bodies were. And then one of the Bedouins from the Bani Asad, he came to this place. What was this place? This place was Karbala. This place was Karbala. Hussein radiallahu anhu wasn't the first person to see Karbala. For before Hussein, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Karbala. Imam Ahmad has related in Musnad that upon occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the angel of rain. And Hussein radiallahu anhu was a small child, and he was sitting with Umm Salma radiallahu anha, and he wanted to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he ran into the room, and he began to jump on the shoulders of the Prophet ﷺ. And the angel said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, do you love Hussein?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Indeed I love Hussein." And then the angel said, "That people from your ummah, they will kill Hussein. And if you wish, I will show you that place where they will kill him." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes, show me." And he struck his hand, and the land of Karbala opened up, and he bought some red soil. And Ummi Salma radiallahu anha mentioned that I used to tie this soil in my scarf. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw this land, he said, "Rihu karb wa bala." From this land, I smell karb, which means difficulty and pain, wa bala, and trials and tribulations. So Hussein radiallahu anhu wasn't the first person, but the Prophet ﷺ had seen Karbala even before Hussein radiallahu anhu. And then the Bedouin came, and the Bedouin, he began to smell the soil of Karbala. And he came to a place where the smell was a smell which he had never smelled before. The fragrance was so beautiful, it was out of this world. And he said, "This is the place where Hussein is buried." He said, "This is the place where Hussein is buried." And then they took the head of Hussein radiallahu anhu to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. When Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad saw the head of Hussein radiallahu anhu, even he was amazed by the beauty of Hussein radiallahu anhu. And he said, "What beauty?" And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was standing there, and he was saying, "There was no man who resembled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than Hussein radiallahu anhu. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and the Sahaba, they would miss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would go to the house of Ali radiallahu anhu, and they would look at Hussein, and Hussein would remind them of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hussein radiallahu anhu would remind them of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, he took a cane and he hit the lips of Hussein radiallahu anhu, and Abu Barzada radiallahu anhu was standing there, and he said, "Remove that cane, for I swear by Allah, I saw the lips of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon those lips." And then they took their heads to Yazid, and Yazid sent their heads to Makkah in some narrations. They took their heads, he sent their head to Medina with the women folk. And when they came to the grave of Fatima radiallahu anhu, they made a hole in the grave of Fatima radiallahu anhu, and it was buried with Fatima radiallahu anhu in some narrations. This happened in 61 Hijrah. See how Allah destroyed these people. This happened in 61 Hijrah. In 66 Hijrah, the governor of Kufa became a person called Mukhtar ibn Abi Abdullah. And what he did, he rounded up all those people who killed Hussein radiallahu anhu, and he executed them one by one. The narration mentioned that Shimr, dogs dragged his body through the streets of Kufa. Regarding Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, Imam Tirmidhi related to Jami' that when they beheaded him and they brought his head to the masjid, they saw a huge serpent come out, and the serpent went into the head of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and it remained there for a while, and then it came out and it disappeared. Then it came out again, and they said, "Kajab, Kajab, come again," and it went again into the head of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and it remained there a while, and then it disappeared again. And the narrator mentions that this happened two or three times. This is how Allah disgraced these people. Imam Zahabi relates in Sir Al-Amin Ubala that one of the travelers mentioned that, "I went to Kufa and I stayed at the person's house, and I said to him, 'All those people who killed Hussein radiallahu anhu, they died a treacherous death.' And he said, 'You're lying, for I am from amongst them, and nothing happened to me. Look, I'm fine.'" And the traveler mentioned that evening fell, and this man went to straighten the lantern up, and his finger got stuck to the lantern, and he tried to blow the lantern out, and his beard caught on fire, and he managed to find some water, and he jumped into the water, but still he was burnt like a charcoal. See, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed those people who killed that person who was the most beloved person to the Prophet ﷺ on the face of this earth. In 5 years, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed these people. Many of the salaf, Ibrahim Nakhi rahmatullah alayhi, say, "If I was one of the rebels, if I was one of the rebels who had killed Hussein radiallahu anhu, and I was given Jannah, I would be shy to look at the face of the Prophet ﷺ." said, if I was given Jannah, I would be shy to look at the face of the Prophet and look and listen to the words of Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh says, may those people who killed Hussein be destroyed. But what will they do on the day of judgment when they will come to the Prophet and they will ask him to intercede on their behalf? He said, I swear by Allah, if I was from amongst those who killed Hussein radiallahu anhu, and I was given the option of Jannah and Jahannam, I would choose Jahannam, just in case I went into Jannah and the Prophet saw my face and he was hurt by my presence in Jannah. Listen, understand the implications of the words of Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh. He's talking about not 1 week, not 2 weeks, he's speaking about eternity in Jahannam. He said, if I was given the option of Jannah and Jahannam, and I was one of the people who killed Hussain radiallahu anhu, I would choose Jahannam, just in case the Prophet was hurt by my presence in being in Jannah. And really, from this you can, one lesson you can take is that how people can be deluded, that they can believe that they are doing good. They can believe that they are doing good, but if you don't stick to the teaching of Allah and His Rasul, how you can miss your target? After seeing all the love the Prophet had for Hussein radiallahu anhu, they did this to Hussein radiallahu anhu. See, on the day of judgment, you will have many martyrs. You will have those martyrs for whom Bosnia will give a witness. You will have those martyrs for whom Iraq will give a witness. You will have those martyrs for whom Kashmir will give a witness. You will have those martyrs for whom Chechnya will give a witness. You will have those martyrs for whom Palestine will give a witness. You will have those martyrs for whom Yarmouk, for whom Yamama, for whom Badr, for whom Uhud, for whom many other places will give a witness. For who will give a witness for Hussein radiallahu anhu on the day of judgment? Who will give a witness for Hussein radiallahu anhu? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that the day Hussein radiallahu anhu passed away, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, and he had unkempt hair, he had dirty clothes, and I asked him, O Messenger of Allah, and he had a glass full of blood with him, and I asked him, O Messenger of Allah, where have you come from? And he said, I have come from witnessing the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. And on the day of judgment, I will give a witness to the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. On the day of judgment, I, no other than the Prophet will give a witness to the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. This was the honor that Hussein radiallahu anhu attained, the honor in the ahadith. Many of us, we feel sorry for the life of Hussein radiallahu anhu, but the reality is that we shouldn't feel sorry for them, for they are people who are dwelling in Jannah. For the greater the sacrifice they gave, the higher the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. And therefore, the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu is really a very tragic page in the history of Islam. But here, I want to debunk some myths. And these myths, these traditions, are prevalent more in certain cultures than others. But I will still speak about them. Maybe the community here is Pakistan, pure from any business, but there are others who do suffer from these ailments. See, there are many things around the martyrdom of Hussein and the month of Muharram which really have no relationship with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But people actually believe that they are a part of deen, but in reality they have no relationship. In the month of Muharram, one thing which is established is to fast. The Prophet required the believers to fast on the Ashura, the 10th. Now many people from the India subcontinent, some communities more than others, believe that the reason that we fast on the 10th of Muharram is because Hussein radiallahu anhu passed away on this day. No, this is not the reason that we fast. The reason that we fast is because the Prophet required us to fast upon this day. He prescribed us to fast upon this day. When the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina, in Medina the Jews would fast on the 10th. And the reason they would fast was this was the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipated them from the tyranny of Fir'aun. And the Prophet said that we have more right to Musa than them. So we should also fast. So the Prophet would fast on the 10th. And the Prophet said, if I live the next year, I will join another day with the 10th. Meaning I will fast the 9th or the 10th or the 10th or the 11th. So our fast does not resemble the fast of the Jews. This is why we fast. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasts on the Ashura, Allah will forgive his sins for the entire previous year. For the entire year, all his minor sins will be forgiven. So this is why we fast. Many people actually believe that we fast because Hussein radiallahu anhu passed away on the 10th of Muharram. No, it coincidentally happened that Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred on the same day. Another issue is that many people believe that you shouldn't do anything of happiness in the month of Muharram because it's a wretched month because Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred in this month. And they said you shouldn't marry, you shouldn't do anything of celebration. This also has no relationship with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time is blessed and wretched through your actions and nothing else. And because the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu is a pivotal, has a pivotal role in the teachings of Shiaism, therefore they believe that Muharram is a wretched time. Although the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat is no, time is blessed due to your actions and wretched due to your actions and nothing else. Nothing else makes your time blessed or wretched. But how many people do you see? Really, how many people do you see? But let me tell you, the majority of Pakistani people actually will not get married in the month of Muharram. Many will not get married in the month of Muharram because they believe that it's a wretched time. And these are all Shia influences. The very meaning of the word Muharram is sacred. It's a sacred month. And they say, no, don't get married in Muharram. It's a wretched time, because these are Shia influences which have come into Sunni houses. And therefore, if somebody tells you don't get married in the month of Muharram, say I want to get married in the month of Muharram. Why? One, because it's a blessed month, and the second, that you will be repelling a bid'ah. The other thing is the stories regarding the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. You have many stories made up regarding the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. There are stories that when Hussein radiallahu anhu passed away, the sky began to bleed, the stones turned all red, the skies actually began to bleed blood. They're all fabricated narrations. For on the battle of Uhud, 70 Sahaba were killed. 70 Sahaba. And what Sahaba were these? These were the Asabiqun al-Awwalun. These were the most eminent of the Sahaba. In the battle of Uhud, the beloved uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza radiallahu anhu, was killed. And then his body was chopped into pieces. And then she chewed his liver. And then she made a necklace out of his liver. But no sky turned red, no stones turned red. Eminent Sahaba like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Usman radiallahu anhu, passed away, but no sky began to bleed. It is the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, if the entirety of humanity, all the awliya of the dunya gathered, they would not reach the status of one Nabi. And the Prophet ﷺ says throughout the time, some Anbiya, they were cut into two. Other Anbiya, their skins would be peeled off their body. But for some strange reason, no sky began to rain blood. No stones turned red. So you must understand that these are all fabricated narrations. And many Sunnis, they listen to their TV sets. Karbala, Karbala, Karbala. You know, and they say, subhanAllah, that this is the greatest travesty in the history of man. No, of course it's unfortunate. Without a doubt it's unfortunate. But many greater men than Hussein radiallahu anhu were killed. Hamza radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Usman radiallahu anhu. They stopped water from Hussein radiallahu anhu for how many days? 3 days. Water was stopped from the house of Usman radiallahu anhu for 40 days. So you must keep these issues in perspective. The other issue is names. Many of us have names such as Fadlur Rahman, Fadlullah. Alhamdulillah, these are fine names. The Fadl of Allah, the Fadl of the Beneficent. However, many Sunnis actually call their sons and their daughters, they call them Fadlul Hussein, Fadlul Hassan, Kanize Fatima, the slave of Fatima. They don't even understand the meaning of these names, but it sounds good. It rings a tone to the ears. Let's name them Fadlul Hussein, Fadlul Hassan. Although Fadl should only be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are other influences which has crept into Sunni houses. You look at the word Imam. Look, it's fine to call a person Imam. You have Imam of the Masjid, you have Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Bukhari, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayhi majma'in. It's fine. But why is it when it comes to the Sahaba, you only call three people Imam? Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Ali. Why is it you never say Imam Abu Bakr? Why is it that you never say Imam Umar? Why? Because according to the Shia beliefs that these are their Imams. And what do they regarding their Imams? What do they think of their Imams? According to the Shias, that their Imams are masoom. They cannot commit a sin. They are like the prophets. They can legislate. So although it's permitted to use the word Imam, you should know the background to it as well. You should know the background to it. And finally, let me speak about the matam. You know the matam when you beat your chest. See, the Prophet ﷺ prescribed a certain way of mourning. And that is that you mourn for 3 days. And then although you are hurt, you carry on with your life, because you understand that a day will come that you will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you mourn for 3 days, and then you carry on with your life, although there is a hurt there. But that's as long as you mourn for. And you look, Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred when? 1400 years ago. And come every year on the 10th of Muharram, you're beating your chest. The Prophet ﷺ said that person is not from amongst us. That he slaps his cheeks and he tears his collars and he calls the Dawah of Jahiliyyah. That person is not from amongst us. And people, they cut themselves up. And really, you have Sunni participating in these martyrs. The only people who should really cut themselves up are the ones who kill them. And if you kill them, fine. But the unfortunate reality is that many Sunnis actually participate in these gatherings. They want to see what's happening. And they will go. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked past a certain lady, and she was crying profusely because her son had just passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fear Allah," because she was crying profusely. And she didn't know that this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she said, "You have not been afflicted by that which I have been afflicted with." And look at the hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have turned around and he said, "How dare you speak to me like that? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I am the Khatib of the Jami Masjid. And you speaking like that to me?" This was the greatest of patience sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he saw that she was mourning. And when people are mourning, sometimes they can't think rationally. He didn't force the issue, he walked away. He walked away. This was the greatest of creations, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look how much love this woman had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they told her that it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration mentioned, أَخَذَهَا كَالْمَوْتِ. It was though as death had descended upon her. And she mentions, "I went to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now when I went to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were no guards, there was no entourage." And Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi mentions that the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want guards and an entourage around him, because this is the sign of worldly kings. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a worldly king, and this is why he didn't want men around him. And she mentioned, I went to the Prophet ﷺ and I explained it to him. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, don't do that again. Next time you do that, I'll sort you out. You know, I got men like Umar ibn Khattab around me, Khalid ibn Walid. And he didn't say this because the Prophet ﷺ was the wisest of men, and he was the most humblest of men, and he was the greatest of men. And these people were ready to die for the Prophet ﷺ. But this was the humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ. He wanted to show that no matter what status you achieve in this dunya, understand that my status is greater than yours. Understand that I am Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen. I am the leader of all the Prophets and all the Rasul. But look at the humbleness that I have. And the only thing he said to this woman, he said, "As-sabr in the sadmat al-ula." He said, true patience is at the first affliction. So that you wait and you scream, and then 3 months down the line you say, I'm doing sabr. No, sabr is at the first affliction. And therefore this is how the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah mourn. And you see, honestly, you see when the martyrdom comes, how many Sunni want to go and participate? They want to participate. You know, when Dajjal will come, the Prophet ﷺ said, many of the people, they will say, you know, in my own words, they will say, bro, let's go and check out what's happening. And the Prophet ﷺ said that they will be enrolled in the fitna of Dajjal. And how many Sunnis actually go to these martyrs? How many Sunnis go to these martyrs? And what happens in these martyrs? They have them now in Manchester. I don't know what happened in the Manchester one, but let me tell you about the ones that I have seen. In Pakistan, when they used to go past the Darul Uloom where we used to study, they would curse the Sahaba at the top of their voices. At the top of their voices, they would curse the Sahaba. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he would go past the place where the azab of Allah had descended, what would he do? He would hurry past that place. And he would tell the Sahaba to hurry past that place. What do you think happens in the place where the group, where the people are swearing at who? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who were the greatest of creation after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They swear at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I've heard it with my own ears. They swear at Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And people, the Sunnis, want to see what's happening there. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kathara aswad qawmin fahuwa minhum." Whoever increases the numbers of a certain group, then he is from them. Who increases their show and their zenith, he is from them. And therefore, if you are participating in a martyr, you are performing a haram act. You want to go to Manchester and see a jaloos? You are performing a haram act. And if you go to commendable gatherings like this gathering, then you will be rewarded. And this is why when Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to see a group of people performing jihad training, she stood behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she watched them perform jihad training. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed her. Why? Because it was a commendable act. But if you see a place where the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being, where the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, then it is haram. It is haram to participate in these gatherings. And how many Sunnis do you see? You know, and now we have the jaloos in this England. MashaAllah, that's all we need. What do you think the kuffar, when they see these jalooses, what is it they think? You know, a group of people beating their chest, walking down the street, wailing and crying over a Sahabi radiallahu anhu who passed away 1400 years. What kind of perception do you think they have about the deen? What kind of religion is this? You know, you don't have to send an army to fight these people. All you do is kill a few of their prominent sheikhs and they'll beat themselves to death. This is it. You know, the last thing we need is these kind of things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who love the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who love the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who appreciate the sacrifices of us Salaf and the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannah al-Firdaws. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.